Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of So Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Friday, August the 9th. Our calling number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and it's an absolute honor and a blessing and a delight to be here to share the ancient Aramaic technology of forgiveness with you and to support you in the process of healing. Everything that is less than human life, and of course, what do we mean by human life? What's this thing called human life? Well, we have a very specific definition for human life. All you have to do to know what a human life is hold a newborn child. And as you hold a newborn, you tap into and you know precisely what human life is. And so what we're looking to do is to get the understanding around the planet that human life is the rage. It is the state of the day. It's where we're designed to live. That is the only energy, that awesome presence of love that the newborn holds, is the only energy that belongs in us, that belongs within our physiology, that belongs within our lives. And if we're holding something inside of us that is less than human lives, then we're in trouble. We've got a problem. And the problem is that hostility and fear has taken over our physiology, our emotions, our just in general, just taking over our lives. And until we get to wake up to who we are and how we're designed to function, then human life really doesn't exist on the planet. And we're looking to bring it back into full expression here on planet Earth. This absolute awesome presence of love that each of us is designed to experience is our birthright. And by and large, we've been ripped off. If you recognize that perhaps you've been ripped off for your human life, perhaps you've been brainwashed with hostility, fear, rage, grief, guilt, and all kinds of pain and drama and trauma, then if you want to reclaim your human life, there's work to be done. You know, people sometimes whine and complain about that, but you know, you're going to do something with your days. Once you realize that you're designed to function as the active presence of love, then really what else is there to do? Like, what else is important? Because if you don't have a human life, then you don't have a human life. And sadly, it's just about gone from the planet. The work that we're about doing here at Heartland is to restore that. We're actually in the the third or fourth day of a Why Is This Happening to Me Again intensive, where we step into a very intensive process of opening the space for people to recognize who they really are and to function truly as human beings. And so that's what we're here to support. that's our process, and we are absolutely delighted when we hear your voice, because your questions, your being out there, you know, perhaps being totally and completely new to this, are really important to this show and to our work. Well, why is that, Michael? Because your questions are what open the space. Your questions are maybe things that, you know, I've long ago forgotten are one of the steps in this process of healing. Long ago lost awareness of. And as you bring that question forward, there's a really big key in the whole process. And it's one that maybe we haven't talked about for a while. And so we want to talk about it. We're here to offer support and to bring forward that true presence of love. In every interaction that we have with you, and to support you in bringing it forward in every interaction you have in your world. That's the game of living a human life. And so we welcome you to the show. We're delighted that you're with us. And if you happen to be on one of those stations that we can't access with our control panel, then you're welcome to call into the show at 646-200-4169. That's our call-in number, 646-200-4169. And if you're in the phone queue already and you have a question, if you push 1, Jeannie will see a little hand go up beside your phone number. And she'll know you want to speak. And she'll push the button, and you'll be on with us. And so we'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to hear your questions, your thoughts, your experiences. And, you know, if you've had some particular breakthroughs with the work, it's really powerful to share those with others who, you know, maybe are new to the work and will be inspired by what you have to say, by your experience. So we're delighted that you're here, Jeannie. I know that Dr. Tim isn't going to be with us today. Boo-hoo. He's always such a contribution to the show. But do we have any hands up in the phone queue, or is there anybody in the control panel that has a question for us? Or, pardon me, in the chat room?
There's not a single soul in the chat room, so I don't know where everybody's at there. But we do have several people on the switchboard, but nobody has their hand up. So if someone presses 1, they're first in line with no waiting.
Are there any married souls in the chat room, honey? You say there are no single
no.
ones. I'm just wondering. No. Oh, okay.
No, there's no married ones out there either.
So then that means that if you push 1, you're first in line. No waiting, no muss, no fuss. And, you know, sometimes people get a little antsy. Gee, I'm going to be on the telephone, you know, or on the radio. My voice is shaking. So take a breath. Ignore that. Ask your question. We would love to hear from you, and we are absolutely here to support you. So if you have a thought for us, a question, an answer, an idea, we'd love to hear from you. In the meantime, while we're checking out the first person who's going to put their hand up, go ahead. Yeah, push the button. That's it. Push 1. That's it. There you go. We'll just talk a little bit about what's happening here at Heartland. We are in a 9-day teacher training. We just finished a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And we started a couple of days ago on teacher training. We're getting ready to do the long form of the worksheet, the original worksheet that goes back 25 years ago. Actually, Julie's going to present that today, which will be pretty awesome. She's always just such a fabulous teacher and has a way of presenting that really inspires and opens people to do worksheets. And so we're delighted that Julie is there to do that, or here to do that. And I wonder if Julie is on the show and if she puts her hand up, if she's got anything to share about what she's going to present. I mean, we just had the conversation a little while ago, and she's going to do that presentation. We had a very brave young man who got up yesterday and the day before and presented the 7-step worksheet for the first time in full in front of an audience, and it was just a really powerful presentation. And so, Julie, are you there? Do you have a thought to share with us, perhaps?
I don't see her on the switchboard, so she's probably preparing for the class.
Okay, well, she's probably tied into that preparation work. All right, cool. So nobody's got a hand up. Then the next thing that I'll talk about is the fact that we are getting ready for a 16-day Laws of Living.
Rex just put his hand up, and he's coming to the 16 day, isn't he?
Rex, hey there. Yeah, you're going to be with us in just a few days, so delighted. And share with us what's happening, Rex. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm excited about the process, about being in Heartland again, and the physically being there. I'm excited about what's been happening and the changes and the connecting with some of the people that were there before and that have been there in the last 9-day intensive, and seeing the changes, the visible, obvious shifts in consciousness that reflect in just looking and acting and being different. So just acknowledging the changes that they're making and that they made and the work that they did while they were there in the 9-day, and they continue to do. So that's awesome. And I apologize. I've got a call coming in. So can I come back on the program after I take this? And I apologize.
Of course.
Pretty important.
Go for it.
Thank you. So I'll come back. Then you can put me on mute, please. Thanks.
Sure. Okay. So we're going to begin a 16-day Laws of Living. It starts on the 16th and goes through the 31st. And if you're ready to crank up the heat, if you're ready to go to another level with your work, then you might want to look at your calendar and create the space to join us for that intensive. It'll be 16 days. And if you've done one of the other intensives, it's a whole different approach to the mind. We use the Socratic method of questions. It's about 200 pages of text material, quite different than what we do in our normal 9-day Y or 9-day teacher training or the codependence to interdependence intensive and all. And it looks like the date is going to change, Jeannie, for your Women Healing Women retreat in Florida.
Yeah, we got to looking at, you know, getting back from another country and having 3 days to order food and prepare and get everything set up. Might be pushing it a little bit. So we're going to move it just a little. So we're going to move it out to November the 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th. That's the week before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's the 28th, so that's the week before. And I've got the flyer just about ready to put on the website, so if everybody will keep their eye out on that. And then we were also talking about possibly doing a 9-day in December. So that's not come together yet, but if you're interested in that, also send us information. But the one on November the 21st through the 24th is women only, and it's going to be discussing women's issues and releasing guilt and fear and self, you know, beating up and healing some issues that women have carried around for a long time. So that's why it's called Women Healing Women.
Awesome. Very cool. So that's November the 21st to the 24th. We'll start on a Thursday night and go through all day Friday, all day Saturday. It'll be a residential, so we'll be doing the fresh and raw food, so you get a taste of Heartland food. And the cost of the 4 days, Jeannie, is going to be?
$495.
$495, and that's a deal. It's going to be residential, and the food's included, so that's everything. I know we had somebody here back a couple of years ago who another workshop leader had come to an intensive here, and someone who was at that intensive here accepted the invitation to go to the workshop that they were doing. It was a one-day workshop at a hotel location, and if you wanted to stay, you paid for your own room, and they had ice water that they served, and the cost of the one-day workshop was $1,000. So when you look at 4 days residential, awesome food, and that process is pretty amazing. So $495 for Women Healing Women, November 21st to 24th. Laws of Living, July.
We have had a hand go up.
Oh, cool. Well, let's give a listen. Let's say hello.
All right. Area code 954, you're on the air. Who do we have and where are you calling from?
Hey, guys, it's Evelyn, the Heart Painter. How you doing?
Hey there, young lady. It's good to hear your
voice. Hey, So I'm listening here. I'm thinking, okay, you're going to be doing your women's workshop, which sounds really fantastic, in November 20, what'd you say, 24?
The 21st, which is a Thursday, through the 24th, which is a Sunday.
So I'm wondering how, because we were going to do a workshop here. I want to get the date straight. I've been telling everybody here in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, that you're coming to do a workshop here. So we got to get those dates straight with us when you're done. Give me a call. Okay.
Well, tell you what. We've actually got a conference call to do right after the workshop, and then right after the radio show, and then we've got a class right after that. So maybe
right. Well, what do you understand?
In the next day or so, let's get together on the phone and let's look at what those dates might work
yeah.
out. How those dates are going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, good. I'm excited because I'm really excited about you coming here. We've got
we've kind of changed our plans around and where we were just going to be flying in and out with the trip to Europe. We're actually going to bring the van down. We're going to drive down there sometime mid-September or so. And so we haven't really figured out our whole agenda yet, but let's get together and we'll see what dates might work for us to do something with the youth. That would be fabulous.
Mm-hmm. I know it's going to be fabulous, totally. And I was wondering if you could touch on intuition and how to know that you're dealing with your intuition versus your ego. Or I know if it's in fear, that's ego, and if it's not, it's probably your intuition. But I kind of doubt it sometimes. I go, oh, is that, you know, is that what I'm supposed to be listening to? That little voice?
Right.
So I don't know if there's some way you can touch upon that to maybe to help understand trust.
Sure.
Trust.
Actually, we do a whole intensive based on intuitive development. Maybe that, you know, we haven't done that one in a couple of years. Maybe that should be the one we do in Florida. And it's a very experiential, getting feedback so that you know when your intuition is your intuition, when it's on track, because throughout the whole 9 days, you're continuously getting feedback. And we define intuition as access to information and energy around you without recourse to the mind or carbon-based memory. So it's direct access, a direct energetic access. And it is something that does not happen through physiology, but rather happens through the higher faculties, the spiritual faculties. Intuition is one of the faculties of the soul, and when we talk about it in a workshop, we talk about it as one of the five smooth stones of David, and it's one of the ways to dismantle the egoic mind, is that intuition. And the egoic mind in that particular parable is literally been called Goliath, you know, the bully, the guy with the, you know, the warrior mentality, the armor, the, you know, the swords, the shield, the ability to attack, the ability to defend, always in that mode. And that's the non-being mind, Goliath. And if anybody's ever said, well, you know, I'm going to change, I'm from now on, I'm going to do things lovingly, everybody knows that Goliath rears his ugly head when the stress is up and the chips are down, and oftentimes the ability to do things the way you've chosen to do them, and choice is another one of the spiritual faculties, they go hand in hand, is because Goliath has a different idea, that non-being mind, that hostility and fear-based mind, when the stress is up and the chips are down, rears its ugly head and takes over, and the ability to function as we've chosen to kind of disappears. And that's the loss of our human faculties and the loss of our human lives. The non-being mind Goliath also has a cheap copy of everything real in the spiritual dimension. The other day we talked about the idea of healing as being a spiritual experience and winning being the non-being mind's cheap copy. Reason or choice has a cheap copy. It's resonance. If I say don't think about the color of your car, fires brain cells, and most people say I'm thinking about the color of my car, but they're really not thinking at all. It's just a firing of brain cells. That's resonance. So reason, the cheap copy, is resonance. Intuition, the cheap copy, is psychic. And the reason why the ancient teachers warned against psychics was because if you get engaged in the psychic game, you can lose awareness that what's really coming forward is the content of carbon-based memory. So the psychic is coming through an inferior level of frequency. And, you know, oftentimes if you look at the psychics, how distorted their lives are and their bodies are, you can tell there's something just not exactly right here. And so the psychic is, you know, it comes through the lower frequencies. It's kind of like the comparison between an AM and an FM signal. You notice the FM has clarity. You get one signal at a time. You don't get other stations coming in on top of it. And on AM, which is a different frequency range, you know, so, you know, especially late at night, you got two or three stations and they're all coming in at the same time and they're switching back. You're listening to something, all of a sudden it disappears and another station crashes in. That's kind of a good comparison for the psychic realm. So, you know, example I usually use there is you take the psychic that's, say, for instance, been through a horrible divorce and split up in a relationship, and someone comes to them for their psychic advice, and the person is having some relationship challenges. So the psychic is into, oh, you're going to have this horrible, terrible divorce. And if someone were working out of intuition, they might say, well, you know, you've got some relationship issues coming up, and I can sense that, you know, perhaps you've got some fear in relationship and some hostility going on. So I'd suggest you do some forgiving, some healing around your fear and hostility, and what you'll find is you'll recreate your relationship. That would be the intuitive's perspective on it. The psychic would be, from their own experience, oh, you're going to have this horrible divorce, it's going to be terrible, and, you know, Person goes away and buys the psychic's input, you know, via suggestion, and sure enough, where it could have been simply healing, they create this horrible divorce, and, you know, on it goes. So the psychic realm generally has a sensation to it that is less than the awesome presence of love. You know, human life, when it shows up with its faculties in full bloom, is this fabulous, awesome presence. And when that presence is missing, so usually the psychic realm is going to have some kind of, you know, even if it's just a little niggle of an ego-centered kind of thing, the hostility, the fear, the control, the manipulation, where the psychic is going to come in, or pardon me, where the intuitive level is going to come in with purity, and if there's conflict involved, the intuitive is going to come in with healing rather than, you know, the psychic fear-based stuff. Does that kind of help?
Yeah. I didn't consider it going towards that psychic stuff, but that was fascinating. Yeah, that helps. Okay.
Yeah, and in the intensive, in the intuitive development intensive, we basically, the whole 9 days is keyed into intuitive development. We have a series of exercises that we do, starting off with simple and becoming more and more complex. And we do the still point breathing process and the forgiveness process all through it. So the intuitive development is brought forward, and then in each exercise, you've got somebody feeding back to you when you're on track and when you're off track. And so you really get a sense of, oh, that's when I'm on right on with intuition. It's kind of like, you know, if you've ever fired a bow and arrow, you know, you pull it back and there are times when you fired it and was like, eh. But then, oh, man, that was just right on. Or I know when I get up to speak, you know, sometimes when I present, it's like, oh, this is pretty good, but, you know, it's just okay. And other times, I'll walk off the stage and it's like, man, I cut that one. I was right on with that one. And
oh, yeah.
So that's the idea with the intuitive development, is to have that feedback so you know when you're right on.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, thank you so much. Thank you.
Delighted.
Talk to you guys
and
soon.
Does it look like we're going to get to see the that young man next week for Laws of Living, your nephew?
Not at this point. Not yet.
No.
Still working on that. Yeah.
Cool.
But,
awesome.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all right. Well, anything else we can do to support you?
How's the directorship going? Got anybody? Did you have that work out?
Say it again.
You had said that you were looking for a director of the
Heartland.
Oh, yeah, things are not, nothing's happened in that regard. So it's looking like, you know, we're probably going to just shut Heartland down for the winter. And we're looking at just what we're going to do from there, whether we're going to keep moving forward with Heartland. It's a huge task.
Mm.
It's a lot of work. And,
oh, yeah.
It's possible this might be our last season here. I don't know. We'll just see how it all unfolds.
Okay, well, I'll hold the space to maybe something wonderful showed up, or exactly what's supposed to show up. Yeah.
I'll hold that space, too. I'm up for it. I'm on it.
Mm. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Okay, blessings. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, we have, I think Rex is back on, so I'm going
to
put him back on.
Oh, cool. Well, let's say hi to Rex. Are you with us, Rex?
Maybe. Yep, I was chatting away as I was muted.
Ah, okay,
that's
cool.
The muted button that we quite often forget to unmute.
Been there, done that.
Good conversation. I appreciate the question the caller had called in and asked about it. I was commenting on the excitement of coming to the Heartland, and I apologize for the interruption. It was a call I had to take in the moment.
That's fine.
But it was just, I'm excited. There's four of us coming from the area, and, you know, we're riding together, which is going to be adding a little dimension, a lot of dimension to the trip, so we're excited about that. I noticed and have had contact with a couple people that have just come back from Heartland, the last 90 intensive, and seen a tremendous shift in consciousness there and just, you know, reaching new levels of awareness, so it's a very powerful process. And actually, just recalling a little bit, because this is the first I had heard anything about the possibility of Heartland closing, you know, and I hadn't heard anything about that. So there was an initial tweak of, and then I just, again, replace it with breathing and love and holding the space for whatever needs to happen, whatever is ideal, to have that open up and manifest. And if we need someone there to run the show while you're gone, and if that's truly what we are inspired to, you know, co-create, and Luke is guiding us to do, then it'll just happen.
It will. And we've, you know, we put out a couple times, it's not something we've talked a lot about, but a couple times that if there's somebody who's ready to dedicate themselves and support this work on a level where they really want to deepen their experience and understanding of it, and then, you know, they might want to take on that task. And of course, it's a big job. It's a big thing to do. And we're looking at, with all the projects that we've got on go and all that's developing with the new website and the radio show, you know, being in a place where an hour a day you can do that, it's just, you know, it's coming to the point where, with as global as the work has become, it's frankly difficult to keep up with it all. And so if anybody's interested in supporting that process, and or somebody wants to be in that posture of coming and dedicating a few years to the process of supporting the work and taking it to another level, then maybe that will be their task. I don't know. We'll see how it unfolds. And it's coming to the point where...
Go ahead.
Just saying that it's coming to the point where we can only do so much. And this summer has been major, you know, catch up, and so much on the plate that neither Jeannie and I have stopped. And we need to do some of that.
Well, I hear you, and I support that. And you know, it's a very important activity to nurture and rest, you know, ourselves, because it's where we refuel, so to speak. And you have been on a tremendous overdrive journey, you know, which you're very dedicated, as is Jeannie. And, you know, who knows what the wholeness is bringing forth so that you can do that. And, you know, I'm just here to support, as you know, and I'm excited about spending some time with you there, and I'm so glad that I am coming even more so now, but I didn't know that I could be more so. But I am now, and just as a reference, there is a part of the conversation I've been processing and working with is understanding it isn't the actual buildings of Heartland. It's not the land. It's not the even the land. It's the consciousness of what Heartland represents, and it's vital, and it is a place where people can go to heal on a very deep level. And so one way or another, I can see it continuing, and we'll just see how that unfolds.
Yes, yes. And, you know, it's been a dedicated, 1989, so what's that, almost 25 years of being here and doing that summer each year. And it's just getting to the point of we're looking at maybe it's time to let it go if someone isn't in that place of support. So we'll see how it unfolds.
Well, we'll hold the space, and I look forward to conversing with you more about that when I come down.
Yeah.
I also
fabulous.
Doctor, you and Dr. Tim were having a conversation, if I can recall it, because there's so many really powerful things there that we were talking about, and it kind of got cued into the prison. What we were doing in the prisons that day that you and Tim and I were talking, and
right.
I was sharing some of my insights, and I, as far as my own experiences of revealing the moment in time where I may have separated or separated my awareness.
Right.
You know, and so we were talking about that, and I thought, oh yeah, that's a good piece, you know, and in the moment it just kind of escapes me. But what I would like to share is that I'm seeing such change on a global level, energetically. It's just more of an intuitive sense inside. And I can see where that is definitely opening up levels of work that are important to unfold, you know. And, you know,
right.
Those of us that are finding ourselves in a position of teacher, like yourself, obviously, Michael and Jeannie, are being called, and it's a matter of stepping up and being willing to change. So I hear that pretty loud, and it seems to be a consistent theme, and I think we're all being called to do that in our own way from inside, from the intuition. And I would really support everyone to, you know, pay attention to that and take action in that. I did
sure.
have something... Oh, go ahead, Michael.
I'm with you on that. I'm in full agreement. And, you know, there's to take this work, you know, the commitment and what we're about doing is making it available in as many ways as possible, literally to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. That's why, you know, the book is on the website in several languages free so that... anybody who speaks a particular language that we've translated it into has access to the tools. Unfortunately, the Swedish publisher felt like it would cost them too much money to put it on the website, that they'd lose sales, which I think was a little short-sighted. But so we don't have it in Swedish, except in the hardcover printed version. But other than that, it's available, and you know the things on our plate. So there's actually the recipes book for the Heartland Kitchen has been something we've been working on editing and putting together, and it's been about 3 years now, and we're working on re-editing the Laws of Living book. There's some work being done on that. Actually, as the show started today, I was working. Julie just did quite a bit of work on her Healing Children, Loving Children, and that's out of print right now, so we're doing that. There are so many projects going on to keep making the work available that it's just becoming more than we can handle. So
that's
well,
kind of...
I appreciate you putting that out clearly so that, you know, the wholeness can step up and see where we go with that.
Yes.
I mentioned the other day in the program about the importance of the words in the worksheet. What I find is coming to be more and more obvious to me is it's not just what we say, but it's also what we think and how we process information. I've been playing a lot for quite a while with what words that I put into my carbon-based memory. And
yes.
And by paying attention to it, what I'm observing is gradually it starts offering me words of support, words of encouragement, words of, hey, are you breathing? You know, different things like that. And I've been really exploring that and playing a lot with it. And I thought it would be good for you to comment more on that.
Well, you know, there's a great line in the Course in Miracles that says about this non-being mind. It says, you trained it in its testimony, and as it gave it back to you, you convinced yourself that what it saw was true. See that you have done this to yourself, and you'll see how circular the reasoning is upon which your life rests. And so the carbon-based memory system, the hostility and fear-based mind, is hostility and fear-based because that's what we put into it. That's what 1,000 generations have done, is trained it in that way of experiencing the world. And literally, this is a retraining process. If you look at, you know, the Aramaic definition of Satan, Satan means not a dude with the red suit, a tail, and a pitchfork. That's an externalization. That's just part of the dissociation game. You know, the problem's outside of me. It's somebody or something out there. The devil made me do it, and I just need to be terrified of the devil. Then I'll be okay. And, of course, people who are terrified and put the devil, just broke the first law, because the first law says you got to keep rachma, a filter in your mind, active that's based in love. And you can't have hostility and fear active when love is active. And you can't have love active if you choose or you decide on hostility and fear. Get lost in that. So there's a scriptural quote that talks about restoring Satan to his proper place. And his proper place is your advisor and your support. And what I hear you describing is that you're literally retraining your carbon-based memory, which usually works out of resistance because it's been trained in resistance. That's half of the definition of Satan in Aramaic. The other half is one who misleads. So instead of your mind misleading you, you know, when someone asks you to be responsible, let's say you're in a state of, or I'm in a state of hostility, and someone says, Michael, why don't you just take responsibility for your hostility? Well, you know, I'm not hostile. It's what they said. There's the problem over there. It's all their fault. Well, now I'm in resistance to responsibility, and I'm being misled. My carbon-based memory has been trained over 1,000 generations to believe the problem's out there. So as it has been trained in its testimony is, if I'm in pain or turmoil, you're the guy with the problem, and you better change or else. And that's trapped in Satan. As you undo its training and retrain it properly to support you, then, you know, when you find yourself holding your breath and locking down, it as exactly as you said, it says, oh, why don't you take a breath? You know, you could have had a rachma instead. It becomes the voice of support. All you have to do is retrain it to do so. And, of course, it seems like a daunting task because the voice that comes from that, the advisor that advises us to do hostility, fear, grief, rage, sadness, fear, whatever it is, has been so long in the driver's seat, so many generations and generations and generations of rage and guilt and grief and war that, you know, I don't know, we might be among a small group of people who in the last 2,000 years has been able to go, huh, maybe we could all be doing this differently. And Yeshua says that we could be functioning as the active presence of love. We could be living as humans instead of the non-human hostility and fear-based one. So what I hear you describing is exactly what happens as you retrain carbon-based memory to do its job, to support you and serve you. And if it's not doing its job, then it's doing the opposite for most people. It's controlling them. And there's a, you know, you look at the story in the scriptures about the servants who have bound the master in their own temple, their own household. Your household is your body-mind unit. Your servants are designed to be your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, all of information that's stored in the device are designed to be your support and your servant. But if somebody gives you the look and the stress comes up and the chips are down and you haven't developed choice and you are not the master of your own device, then you notice, even if you say, well, I'm going to speak lovingly, gently, and with respect here, the servants come up and choke you and say, no, you're not. We're going to beat the hell out of them, because that's what's been trained in there for 1,000 generations. So it's quite a piece of work to make shift in that process. Is that making sense for you, Rex, with your experience?
Yes, I had some technical difficulty here. I dropped off the call, called back in, dropped off again, called in again, and you were continuing your conversation, which I appreciate. I caught most of it, and then I just got unmuted again. So, yes, it makes perfect sense, and it is a process of unraveling and being attentive to what we're putting in and recognizing that we're putting it into an evidential device that can only offer out what we put in. You know, and
exactly.
What we allow in. And that's, yes, you articulated what I did here. It was just right on target with what I've been experiencing more and more. And it is quite a task, and I continue to work on it. And it's good to be grounded and to be in my body fully while I'm doing it. So I'm now at my destination, and I'm going to have to let go of the call. And I would love to stay on, but I've got somebody that has squeezed me in an appointment that I needed to fulfill. So.
Sure.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to share, and it's right on, Michael. I'll do my best to tune in on Monday as well.
Okay. Love and blessings, everyone. Much appreciation.
Thank you.
Look forward to seeing you next week. Okay. Bye-bye.
646-200-4...
Oh, there's
hi,
an echo. Go ahead, sweetie.
Great minds think alike, and we won't go to the other.
There you go. Great minds think alike. Of course, they also say fools seldom differ, so we'd have to make a choice as to which one category we're in. Which one you going for, sweetie? Did I lose you, Jeannie? Hello, Jeannie. I can't hear you. Well, just in case we've got dead air, I'll apologize and say I'm not sure what happened, but we seem to have lost Jeannie's voice, unless my phone is disconnected and I'm speaking to myself. You know, what can I say? Life on the road. In any event, 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. If you have a question for us and you're on the phone, all you have to do is push 1, and that raises a hand in the queue, and Jeannie will know that you want to talk to us. And if Jeannie got disconnected, I'm going to presume that probably she's back with us, and we'll ask if she's got anything happening in the way of questions in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up. Sweetheart? Well, I'm not sure what happened. In any event, we're delighted that you're with us. What is this process of forgiveness? What does forgiveness mean? Well, we live in a culture where people say, you know, well, I forgave them. I need to forgive myself. Oh, I'll forgive you. It's okay, you're forgiven. And none of that has anything to do with forgiveness. All of that language is an indicator that what we've done is substituted pardoning for forgiveness. And a lot of people who hear that I'm doing this Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop on forgiveness, and they'll say, well, I don't need that because I've already forgiven everybody, my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my aunt, my uncle, my children, my spouse, my former spouse. I've even forgiven my future spouses. And anyone who's languaging in that way, I know, has done no forgiveness work to date, absolutely zero. because forgiveness has nothing to do with anyone else. It has nothing to do with I let you off the hook for what's going on inside of me. It's how you go inside yourself and remove the root of pain, turmoil, trauma, fear, anger, sadness, grief, and rage. And as you do that, you're freed of those things. Otherwise, if you never learn to go inside, if you keep playing the game of it's out there so I forgive them, then you never go inside and you get to play the why is this happening to me again game. Because all that carbon-based memory, that device that we were talking about, can do is replicate whatever's in it. And if it's been trained in hostility or fear, then it's going to replicate it. And I do believe that I heard Jeannie's voice kind of tweak in there, sweetheart.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. I just got totally cut off, so I had to get back in. We do have two callers. So
well, let's say hello then.
The first one is a Skype caller. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
Hey, you're on the air. Welcome. Where are you calling from? Give us a name.
Hey, Michael. How are you, Jeannie?
I'm good. Who are we speaking with?
This is Kat.
Say it again.
I'm on the West Coast, female on the West Coast.
Okay,
did
you say Cat?
I did.
Hey,
okay.
How are
cool.
you doing?
Now, is this Cat Garceau?
No.
Oh, okay. Different Cat. All right. We know a lady named Cat Garceau we've been trying to get in touch with, and I actually got a text and wasn't sure if it was her or not. So anyway, how could we support you? What's happening in your world?
What's happening is I'm still trying to discern between many of the gifts, the servants and the masters, and I was hoping you could talk a little more about the yin and the yang, how to discern intuition from psychism, how to know how to get to the truth. And I know you can't do a whole workshop in 15 minutes, but I'm sure you can do the best you can because you have attention dialed to a higher dimension. You know what that is.
Well, my take would be, you know, the simplest way I know to do it is that the psychic realm comes from carbon-based memory. It always comes tinged with something. And that something is perhaps manipulation or upset in some form, hostility, fear. There'll always be a tinge of that in it. And you can tell as you speak about what it's informing you of by your voice tone and the kinds of feelings that are generated by it.
Okay.
And so that would be the best way. And the intuition always comes with a gentleness and a perspective of wholeness. My experience is that when my intuition's really on, I can get, like, I've gotten right down to, you know, the page number in a dictionary and a word on that page, and then gone to that book which I had never known or opened before, and there's that word on the page. So it comes with a nudge toward wholeness, where the psychic realm tends to come with a nudge toward some form of deprivation, hostility, or fear.
Okay.
That would be about the best I could offer. And, you know, when we do the intuitive development intensive, that's a very experiential process. And, you know, as I said earlier, we start out with simple exercises and move into deeper and deeper and deeper exercises. And so it's a whole experiential process that we go through in developing and strengthening the intuition.
Do you think you might do one on the West Coast?
You know, if we've got enough people anywhere on the globe that want to pick up and do a particular aspect of the work, a group of people come together and say, there are 20 of us and we'd like to do an intensive on this topic, I'll be there to do it. So absolutely. And we're looking at heading to the West Coast later this winter, you know, probably on into January, February, we'll probably be on the West Coast. We haven't specifically gotten everything set up yet, but we're looking in that direction. Where are you on the West Coast?
It's hard to remember. I've been so many places. I'm in the Sierra foothills.
So Northern California?
Yeah, below Tahoe.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful here. Blue sky. As long as there's
oh, yeah, I imagine. It's absolutely gorgeous. Yeah.
So another question
cool.
I have is, I've been trying to discern, Michael, coming from a background of a home that I grew up in of a rageaholic ADD father and a, well, both parents, you know, the carbon based was heavily entrenched. So I'm looking for a home, which of course is in my heart, but a home that's, maybe there is no home on earth, actually, but since I'm in a body, I need a place to put it. And I'm wondering how to find maybe a motorhome, but then that's not very stable, is it? You still have to put it somewhere. I'm wondering how to use my intuition to find home and my people. And I guess I'm looking for as much of heaven on earth as I can find, and I haven't been to Missouri, so pardon me, I should have stopped there. And then after that, if you can say something about what you're looking for in a person or management type to run your place or keep it going or whatever. Maybe we could talk later about that.
Yeah. Well, we're looking for someone who wants to dedicate at least a couple of years. We do a two-year work support program.
Okay.
And then, you know, something that extends beyond that. Someone who, number one, is about really, truly doing their work and is stable and grounded in the work and has the skills of, you know, if you can imagine, we've got 17 acres and 15 buildings, and we're always working to move the place in the direction of a more functional facility. We have, you know, I mean, we literally... tomorrow could take $5 million and spend it on the property to take it to, you know, embodying some of the visions that we have for the ultimate healing center based in this work. And when we don't have $5 million in our pocket, we look at, you know, how much money have we got to do what project. You know, like, for instance, we're looking at creating a Seaponics greenhouse. And that means putting a, you know, a 5,000-gallon water tank, concrete water tank in the ground and a concrete pad that'll probably be about 150 feet by 60 feet wide, covered and creating Seaponics. So, you know, pretty extensive process. That's one of the visions that we have. We have a... the teaching center, which we've been doing a lot of renovation work on the last 5 years, and we have a footer in to put a roof over another section that encloses our refrigeration and gives us a growing room. We actually have concrete pillars and steel beams in for a two-story research center to work with the Kapoor's manuscript. We have an eventual plan for a monastery-like property or building at the top of the hill that would, you know, be a two-story or three-story structure that would overlook and look down on the lake. So, you know, someone who has the skills and the capability to do some of the physical work that's involved in, you know, just keeping 15 buildings and a piece of property like this operational, and is grounded enough in the work that they can support someone who is coming here for the first time, perhaps has had problems, legal problems, or perhaps has had alcohol, drug problems, or perhaps just wants to improve their lives. So we have people who will come and do anything from a 40-day work support program to a two-year program, as well as people who come, you know, as guests to an intensive. So someone who can comprehend all of that and jump in and is willing to support that, to move this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. You know, when we travel, we pay our own expenses, our workshops are free, so it's not a big money operation. So we're not out looking to hire a manager as such. We'd have to probably, in order to do that, double the cost of our intensives. And so when we travel, you know, as I say, we pay our own expenses. We invite people to support with donations, and basically that's what supports the work. And so that's kind of a sketch of where it's going, where we're heading with it.
Thank you.
Probably something like our greenhouse project, the hydroponic, or pardon me, seaponic greenhouse. Is, you know, it's probably about, I would think something in the range of an $80,000 project. And that'll get done when, you know, when we have that money to do it. And basically that's what we do each year. So we look at what resources do we have in terms of finances, in terms of materials, building materials or what have you, and skills, and we jump in, and that's the next piece of work that we do, you know. Terry Bowling was here for 2 years. He's a developer, a builder, and he just did some awesome stuff in the Heart Center, you know, new higher roofs, and I mean, it's just amazing. And so it's kind of just that kind of a labor of love, and we're looking for somebody who wants to play on that level.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How close are you to the Missouri River?
We're a long way from the Missouri River. We're in the Ozarks in southern Missouri, about an hour due east of Branson. So we're actually on the White River. The lake that we're on is a source lake. You know, it originally was the White River, and then they dammed it up to turn it into Bull Shoals Lake. So we're on a lake called Bull Shoals, about an hour due east of Branson, a little town of Theodosia, about 200 people in the Ozarks. Ozark County is a county that's one of the largest in the nation, and it has, I think the last time I saw the population was around 7,000 or 8,000 people in the whole county, so it's a pretty rural area.
I could have been there. You must be just up from Harrison.
We're not far from Harrison. Harrison's about 2.5 to 3 hours from here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know right where you are. Well,
yeah.
You know that $5 million... $5 million is floating around somewhere. You got to bring it in.
Yeah, well, and you know, if I trust the universe, and if and when it's time, then you know, each year, you know, when I first bought this property, there were places that if you stepped in the wrong place in one of the buildings, you went through to the floor. And we've rebuilt it from the ground up. And each year, again, we just do what resources do we have. And it's had a huge amount of energy and money expended on it, and we're looking at whether or not it's time for us to pass it on to someone else, or whether it's something we need to continue. And for Jeannie and I to continue it on our own is just not a practical thing. And so we're just kind of open to the universe's guidance.
Do you have a lot of quartz in the ground there, like Arkansas does?
Well, there are no mines as such. There's no quartz mining, but yes, the whole area is the underpinning. The earth is quartz here. Yeah, I mean, if you walk down the road, you can see the quartz crystals and the stone and such. But it's not enough to be mining like they do down in Hot Springs and such. It's not that not big pieces of quartz or anything like that. So.
Okay.
So that's kind of heartland.
Do you have time?
Ozarks in southern Missouri.
Thank you. Do you have some time to speak about finding home? How that would, what the, I mean, we live in a broken, fallen world of matter, but can you talk about transforming that to find the right place? How that would feel? How you handle that?
Well, I'm not sure exactly what your question is, and we're down to just a few seconds, so we're going to have to close the show out. But maybe if you wanted to refine that question a little bit, we could start out with that tomorrow. And of course, you know, when it comes to healing, the answer is always all of the above. How do I find my place, whether it's with people, whether it's in you know, where am I to be on the earth? It's going to come from my higher faculties and my whole being and my whole self. So the answer to that one is always all of the above, every tool that we teach. So But if you've got some questions tomorrow, why don't you call into the show early, and we'll look forward to chatting then.
Not
in the meantime,
tomorrow.
Bring us, pardon Monday. Me, not tomorrow, Monday. Thank you. I just realized today's Friday, so Monday. And bring a stranger to the show on Monday, and have the best year yet of your eternal life. Blessings.
Thank you. Wilson.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.